Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. Welcome to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the king of king himself. God damn, I love myself. Well, why my phone is blown off the hook? I didn't start yet. I got like 7 people online already. Okay. Everybody hold on. Sean and I are going to speak first. After we say our piece, I will get to everybody as soon as I can, okay? No lie, Sean. I have like 7 people waiting online. I guess I don't need to give the number out.
Well, just at least try everybody to be patient, and we will definitely get to you because I know we got a big show.
Okay, well, hold on. I got to figure out which one now. Which one is Lady T? which one is Lady T number?
Oh,
before I get the wrong one and she kills me, you know? Okay, this is Lady T right here. Okay, Lady
sure
T's been
that.
Out. I hope so.
Yeah, hey guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, hello. Okay. Oh, okay. So the rest of the callers, I'll get to you in a few minutes. Just please hold on. Okay, Sean, let's not wait. Earlier today, you talked to me about a video that resurfaced in the Trump administration that gone viral that everybody's going crazy about. Quickly, what is this video about, and are you upset by this video?
Well, we definitely... It's something that needed to be brought up. First of all, it's a video that was being shown, I believe, at a Trump rally. I think it was at a Trump rally or it was at a private get-together with a lot of other politicians involved. And this was shown, I believe, over the weekend of a video that was created not by Trump or his administration, but somebody that was I guess, is a fan of Trump or whatever the explanation was. And it was a video that was, I guess it was supposed to be a parody with a message. It was spliced up video from a part of a movie called Kingsman, The Secret Service, which came out a few years ago, which was like a spy James Bond type movie. And the scene that was cut was of the spy going into a church and getting attacked by a whole bunch of people and having to basically kill his way to get out of the church. Now, this video that was done was made, I guess the explanation was, as a parody on a YouTube channel that was actually, the video was released July of last year. And it superimposed the president's face on the spy that went through the entire church killing everybody. And all of the victims, their faces from the movie was completely superimposed with basically opponents of Donald Trump, CNN, different various news channels, even pictures of the late John McCain and other politicians, including Mitt Romney, who actually in the clip stabbed Trump's character in the back, which he had then rolled over. It's a very violent clip. If you even take out the superimposed intention, but they did this, and they changed the name of the church to the Church of Fake News. That's what it looked at from the beginning. So the message is that all of these news articles or these news companies that came out from the clip that was made was supposed to be President Trump taking out all of these fake news companies and all of his opponents, et cetera, and then walking out like he's a clean spy, so to speak. We know what the intention was for this one. As I said before, this video has been up on YouTube over a year, and it's
but what's
now
the hoopla
just
about?
Make,
what's the hoopla then?
The hoopla about it is the fact that it was shown. It was first, I believe it was liked by President Trump, but it was shown at a function that Trump was either at or was sponsored for him, that other people were there watching. And I think that's what the hoopla was. I don't think if anyone, if like I said before, nobody knew about this video until this past weekend. But if you look at it, and I don't know if you've seen the video or not, it is goes kind of in tandem with some of the other videos that have actually gone up with this. If you remember, I think it was like a year or two ago, there was a video clip that somebody took of some old wrestling footage, and it had Trump beating up other characters, and it had Trump's face superimposed, and then other people that had CNN getting slammed through a table, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, the implication was there that Trump was going through other news article opponents that were against him. And I think that was what the message was within the video, which Trump actually liked and retweeted.
But, like I discussed earlier, Sean Black, last year or 2 years ago when comedian Kathy Griffin had a picture that went crazy, people went haywire when she had a picture of Donald Trump's head all bloody and everything. She received many bad reputation. She lost gigs, and she had to apologize. And that. Is there a big difference between that of Kelly Griffin picture compared to that video?
If somebody wants to look at it and say it's art, if somebody wants to look at it and say it's freedom of speech, that's where the iffy part of it goes into. I look at it like this. If Kathy Griffin, who lost almost 2 years before she started to get gigs again, could lose that kind of reputation based on that, then whoever spliced this video up out of the anonymity of the internet, because nobody knows a face behind the person or people that were involved with making this, I guess this was a meme that was created. Nobody knows that face behind there. True, you have freedom of speech. You do have freedom of expression. Kathy Griffin, in her, I guess it was supposed to be art of her beheading the president, which I did not agree with at all, and I was steadfast in that when they brought that up. I'm not in favor of this particular video as well. But at the same time, when we know what has happened with other people inciting violence from other things that we see on social media and the internet, you have to be careful with these kinds of things that you do because you don't know what you're going to potentially incite or invoke when you do these kinds of things. Especially when you see this on television all the time.
I understand that overall, but you have Trump supporters saying this and anti-Trump supporters saying that. I don't see the big deal about this thing because this type of videos go on social media, on the internet all the time. And this
but
is
remember,
nothing new.
We've actually had violence against politicians because of things like that. Steve Scalise was shot at a softball game.
Yes,
and this was
but your president is talking hate. So what do you expect to get out of this? Nothing
and that's the reason why I'm saying that this crosses into that dangerous line. And I know Lady T has we've talked about this until we've all been blue in the face. I can imagine what she doesn't want to talk about, but I'll bring it to you.
Speak for yourself. I don't have blue in my face. But Lady T, anything like to add on to this?
You know, only thing I want to add to that is the fact that when Kathy Griffin did it, you know, they went down hard on her. So that's about it. It's really nothing to say. Every day it just feels like a circus with this Trump administration. Oh, I don't know.
And like Sean told me earlier before I go to the next topic, the more that people complain about Trump or your politics, if you're not doing anything positive like voting, you should not be talking at all.
Or if you're not even doing anything as positive as rallying, simple as that. If you don't want to vote, at least rally, protest. So.
Yeah. But it's easier to stay home and complain about it and go on social media than go out and do rally and do something positive in your community or in schools or anything like that. Okay.
And my last point on this is as far as the comparison between this video and the Kathy Griffin video, Kathy Griffin basically owned the fact that she did this. The person that did the video, we don't know what this person looks like, you know, how long it took them to do the video. We can see or infer just from the intention of the context of the video. And that person, I believe, is saying that this is more a parody and not something that they're, you know, advertising as something that they think should happen or will happen. But you have to also understand in this society that we're in now, that's something that you have to be mindful of when you bring these kinds of things up.
Okay. I can't believe we want to talk about this topic somewhat again. I just felt like we just talked about this topic last week, but there's a new case to this. Lady T brought to my attention, and Strong Black, of another Dallas cop shooting. Yes, Dallas. And I texted my friend earlier today. I'm like, you know what? I would love you. I would love to come down to Texas and see you. But your cops are killing too many black people down there. So that's it. I am not coming down there no more. And it seemed like, I know we say this all the time, is a norm, but this one had a little bit of a twist to it. It seemed like you can't even play video games and not get shot. Before, you cannot go to Starbucks. Before, you cannot do barbecue. Before, you cannot sell tickets. You cannot sell cigarettes. You cannot do anything. So no matter what you could do, it seemed like you would get shot dead. But before I give this to Sean to explain the story, I want to say this as a disclaimer. I don't think there was too much racism in this case. It had nothing to do with race in this case. Maybe the outcome might be due to racism or due to race, but not what happened at that shooting. Well, go ahead, Sean Black. Go ahead.
Okay. This happened Saturday at very early in the morning, like 2 in the morning. A neighbor of a person in Fort Worth, Texas, called the police, stating that they noticed that somebody's door was left ajar and had been open from 10 p.m. up to that point. Made the call. Police came to the house. The policeman, who by the name, I'm going to give the police's name. His name is Officer Aaron Dean, who had been part of that police department since April of last year. Case
oh, 18
the
months,
area with
18
his flashlight.
He'd been on the force. 18 months.
Exactly. Yes. And he used, has been shown on the news through his body cam. He searched the property, first in the front, then in the back. He saw a figure who was, I guess, the face he saw, and yelled, "Put your hands up, show me your hands," without saying who he was, without saying what his business was. Saw this woman who peeked through the window to find out who's making this noise, and shot twice, killing a Tatiana Jefferson, who was 28 years old, who was, on a Saturday night, babysitting her 8-year-old nephew, playing video games on a Saturday night. And she was killed because this trigger-happy cop thought he saw something that needed to be fired upon without going to someone's house, not asking who it was, not letting somebody know, "I am a police officer. I was called in to say there was a problem. If there's anyone in the house, let me see who it is," et cetera, announcing who that person is. He didn't follow protocol. He didn't do any of that. So
okay,
we have a 28-year-old who was trying to get a medical degree, wanted to be a pharmacist, wanted to get into the medical profession. She is now dead. And the issue continues, as we've seen in Texas and we've seen other instances in Florida, et cetera. This is 2 weeks, 3 weeks after the other shooting verdict with Amber Geiger getting 10 years in jail for shooting, as a cop, a black man in his own apartment. So we're seeing this whole thing happen again, another dead person. And then the story evolved from Saturday, the shooting, to now he's on administrative leave, to the mayor of Fort Worth saying something's got to be done, to earlier today, the police officer who was supposedly going to get fired handing in his resignation, to literally 3 hours before we went on the air, he is now being charged with murder. So it went from Saturday this, let's really call it what it is, a murder, to today, the guy being fired. That's how fast the story has evolved.
Or resign. Remember, they say resign, but we all know that he got fired.
Yeah. And the chief of police, I believe it was the chief of police, that basically said that he was going to fire the guy, but the officer handed in his resignation literally just before he was about to get fired. At least that's what is being told.
True. But let's be honest. I'm like, if it were not for the case that happened a couple of weeks ago, let's be honest. Would you think all this would be happening right now? The cop being quote-unquote resigning or being charged with murder? Or this would be like, will be under investigation. Let's see how it goes. Lizzie T?
What was your question? Ronnie, I didn't hear you.
Do you think, the case did not happen 2 weeks ago with Amber and all the you know, negative feedback gotten from that, do you think the cop would quote-unquote resign / fired and be charged with murder, or would still be under investigation? Or you think they moved a little bit too fast on this to make the call?
I think they're moving fast because of what happened. Because if you also look at the last incident that happened, they did the same thing in the beginning. This doesn't impress me. I'm not impressed by that. They did the same thing in the beginning, moved fast on everything. She was fired and so forth, or whatever the case may be. But what's interesting with something like this is that they put the same lawyer on the case. Forgot what the lawyer's name is. Well, anyway, he's the same lawyer that was with Lee Merritt. Is the same lawyer that was with the Bodum family, if that's how you pronounce Bodum Jean, the last family. Both from Jean family. So to me, it's like, I think they want to cover their tracks. Something that Lee Merritt said was he'd prefer like an independent law enforcement agency that should take over the investigation. He doesn't think that the Fort Worth police should be investigating their own. Obviously, he's showing something happened from his last trial that he doesn't want to happen with this one, obviously. He also is concerned about them vandalizing the young lady's name. Yeah, with the young lady's name and turning this into like a she's the suspect versus the victim type stuff. So to me, he's also covering his tail from the last trial. So nothing impresses me in the beginning because this is the beginning point as far as that goes. And there's a way before, you know, trial a year or so, let's say, before he takes a stand and possibly gets off. We don't know yet. I'm not trusting that system over there. They need to train their cops.
So basically, so back to the beginning.
Or anywhere, basically, but.
Like Sean said, he did not follow proper protocol. He probably got scared, got nervous. He's a rookie. I'm not making excuses for him overall.
Okay, so
yes.
Sorry, are you aware that they had body cam on him? They had body cam on him, and they keep on showing you the edited version, and everyone wants to know about the, you know, the unedited version. So that's something of concern. They do show you that her front door was open where it was a screen door that was closed, mm-hmm. but her actual mm-hmm. second door was open. Now, I have a security door that's like that. So if I choose to have my second door open and you're thinking that maybe something's wrong, I think a panic neighbor or a nosy neighbor, one or the other, was too involved.
See,
now that neighbor is regretting that.
You hit it right there. And that's what everybody forgot to mention, the quote-unquote nosy or concerned neighbor.
And they didn't make a 911 call. They made a wellness care check call.
Yes.
And the explanation was that the door had been open from 10 p.m. Now, mind you, when the police showed up, it was 2:25 in the morning. So what the neighbor is basically saying is that Friday night from about 10 p.m. to roughly 2:25 in the morning, a span of 2.5 hours or four, almost 10, 11, 12, a little over 3.5 hours, that you had a door that was open that this person made a call for. And it, as you said, it begs you to wonder. We know that people in different neighborhoods usually, at least back in when we were younger, people in the neighborhood looked out for other people in their own neighborhood. But today, in today's society, if somebody is looking at somebody as a neighbor or looking at their house, it begs you to wonder why that particular person is looking or making a wellness check that long, that late, at that time.
Well, if that person, a nosy neighbor, was concerned about the house, do you see anyone coming in and out the house? Because it was so-called robbery or burglary. You know, if you're taking something from somebody's property, we'd be in and out, maybe one, two, three people. Is that neighborhood see anything? You see the lights on, off, or hear any noise? I doubt that. Maybe that neighbor was looking for trouble. We don't know. This is Texas, another crazy state with a system backwards.
And that's the hardest part of the whole thing to try to fathom, as to these things. We all know, as much as we try not to talk about a racial slant on everything, the news that has come out of Florida and Texas and other places, we hear these kinds of stories all the time. And it seems to always be, and I had this discussion with a friend of mine, when the story broke, the first thing my friend said is, is the victim black? Oh, is the cop white? That's the first thing that popped up.
But why did the media have to portray it that way right away? You know, white
because
cop
that was all they went
person.
On. And we know, especially, here's the thing. The buzzword is Texas. The buzzword is Florida. How many times have we done stories or we talked about, man, it's crazy in Florida what's going on with this and that story and everything else? Oh, look at the kind of stuff that's happening in Texas. Remember, just last week, I had brought up the story of the black man that had gotten arrested who was, I believe he was mentally ill. He was arrested and had handcuffs tied to the back of a horse.
Yeah.
This happened just a couple of weeks ago. So
these kinds of things seemingly
only happen, as far as the media shows, to African-Americans and other minorities. When was the last time that you heard?
For sure, you just mentioned the key thing, what the media shows. Like Lacey always say, we don't know what's going on. They show you what you want to show so to get a reaction. It could be an Asian person doing it to a white person. We don't know that all the time.
But
well, there have been crazy stories around the world all the time.
True. Based on everything that we have seen in the last 5 years, since we've been doing this show, do you honestly believe, in just an honest opinion, that you believe that some white guy or anybody that is not of a minority persuasion is going to go through this exact same thing? Do you really firmly believe that has happened and it just hasn't been brought up, that you've seen a white person get handcuffed to a horse, or you see a white person get shot at in his own house, sitting in front of his house?
Black. We have black kids attacking Jewish people right now. I would never thought I would see that, but that's what's happening in our own turf right now. Black kids attacking Jewish people. That's how much hate is going on in this world today. You know, so anything could happen overall. But other than that, we have another crazy topic to talk about. Rikers Island. Rikers Island is a prison place where Sean belongs, along with K-Dog, in New York. Hey, I'm just saying. And our mayor is trying to do something different with Rikers Island. But this is Lady T's story. I will let her lead the story and why she wants to talk about this. Go right ahead.
Sorry, guys, I didn't hear you.
Are you still sleeping?
No, I'm actually not. I didn't hear you. My phone had a delay on it. I didn't hear you.
Oh, okay. Lady T, can you talk about the Rikers Island story? And why did this caught your attention?
Okay, well, we're actually gonna have some callers that could explain it a little better also.
Okay,
but
I have 7923 who's on the line also. He or she could jump in anytime they want.
Okay.
7923.
7923, what's your name?
I think I had it. No? I think I lost it. Oh, well, go ahead, Lady T.
So we're talking about right now the no new jails. That is pretty much on Mayor de Blasio's table right now. They want to close down Rikers to build new jails pretty much closer to the courthouses. And the problem that they're having is that they're going to do that, or they're stating that they're going to do that, when it's really to incarcerate more people versus using some of that money on, let's say, housing and so forth. So that's pretty much a topic that's been on the table for the past, I think, 4 years now.
Yeah. Especially since Rikers Island is supposed to be closing in 2026.
Right, which is no guarantee of that. Yeah.
Yeah. But they wanted to tear down Rikers Island, and I believe they want to put affordable housing in that area or something along those lines by tearing the jail down. So.
Yeah, but overall, five new prison places will work out in the long term? Instead of having everybody one big house, you have five separate houses overall for prisoners?
It's not for that. Do you guys realize that some of the people that are 40% of them are not, or more, are people who are not even convicted of any crimes yet? You also have people who are pretty much diagnosed, let's say even the homeless populations that's being placed there. So these are not convicted criminals that's there, and that's their concern. Their concern is also about how the jails are being ran and so forth.
Yeah. And also.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello, yes.
Yes, my name is Al St. Jean. I'm one of the organizers with No New Jails. And I think my comrade Sean should be on.
Okay,
yeah,
so
my name is Sean.
No new jails that can speak on it.
Yes.
Yeah, my name is Sean from No New Jails and Take Back the Bronx as well. Sorry about that, y'all. It's just getting everything together and listening at the same time. That's all.
Oh, no problem.
No problem.
Okay. And we also have Kate over now. I have a lot of people, so just
hey,
deal
what's
with
up,
me
everybody?
A little bit. I'm going to try to figure out who's who. So I have two guys from the no new jail system.
Yeah, what's up, brother?
What's the other name again?
My name is Al. I'm with the Black Alliance for Just Immigration and No New Jails.
Okay,
I'll start with you, Al. Thank you overall. What is your statement about this no new jails? Why do you want to talk about this?
Well, our position is that basically we believe that Rikers Island can be closed without having to build $11 billion jails. We believe that that money should be focused on investing into the community. And from there, we can start to close Rikers Island down with attrition and also making after the statewide legislation passes, which eliminates bail. We believe about 40% of people will be released in that way, and also that the state can put money down so that people can fight their remands to get off of the island. We think that you can close Rikers Island in this fashion as opposed to spending $10 billion for new jails, and also using that money to invest in the community, stopping broken windows, policing. There are a number of avenues, investing more in criminal defense. Right now, the parity or the gap between what prosecutors get and what defense attorneys get in resources is about $100 million. We believe that there's just so many different avenues the city could take to strengthen our communities and to close Rikers Island without having to build new jails.
Mm.
Okay, thank you. And Sean, your case?
Me, I just feel like, to piggyback off of Al real quick, is, you know, the homeless rate is at an alarming rate. Right, you got people eating out of trash cans. You got NYCHA being trash as usual. You know, you got the MTA being trash. You got everything wrong with the infrastructure. And it's like you have $11 billion at your disposal, and the best thing you could think of is to spend it on four new jails. And all it's going to do is put these communities under more surveillance and nothing else. And jails don't do nothing but reproduce harm. They don't make people better, you know. So that's really where I stand at.
And I'm asking something with what Sean just said, Hot Rod, with that as far as Rikers being open, it was first created to be somewhat of a reform. Instead, they feel like it's been turned into a human cage, technically. You have a lot of people who have mental, you know, health diagnosis and so forth,
mm-hmm.
people who are only there for, like, convictions of a year or less. You also have inmates that are, I remember when Diane Sawyers actually did, you know, one of the 7 days, I think she was on the island or something, and you have people that are locked in for 23 hours, then they're able to go out for 1 hour and so forth. This was about 10 years ago with that. So I don't know how much of that has changed or if that's still the same thing. And their concern was with them being caged in like that for so long, wouldn't it be more harm, more mental diagnosis coming up and so forth?
Okay. 7293, you're on the air. Your name? I don't want to say the whole number. 7293, the last 4 digits? Okay. Feel free to jump in whenever you're ready. K-Dog, anything you'd like to add on to this?
Well, I see now that the jails are doing more harm than good in terms of that, and I'm glad you're bringing up about people being diagnosed with mental illness. And also, it is sad about the homeless because as someone who takes the subways every day on the trains, there's usually one car that's full of homeless people, and it's really sad to see, you know, people lying in the train stations, people lying in the train cars. Something has to be done. There's got to be some way to help this, to put an end to this. You know, if it's affordable housing, build affordable housing instead of building these jails. You know, do something. It's not just sitting around building a...
You guys' defense, and you know, I have to be the devil's advocate here. Isn't prison, don't the prisoners get 3 meals a day, cable TV, a workout? Yes, probably mental illness, and they get punishment, but are they well taken care of compared to being... being out on the streets, being cold, being hot, being homeless overall, what's better, going to jail?
Having to go to jail in order to address homelessness is like, it's very counterproductive for our society. You know, to say that people should go to jail in order to solve homelessness, I know that wasn't a serious question, by the way. That couldn't have been a serious question. But, right now we have a case in New York. We have a case in New York City where we have 250,000 vacant luxury apartments that are sitting there vacant because these luxury developers can afford to. But we have 65,000 people on the streets that's homeless, right? So, like, we really have no excuse for not being able to house any of these people. But instead, we're somehow finding a way to build 40-story jails in the different boroughs at the cost of $11 billion. Like, that's unconscionable. How is this even possible? And this mayor is supposed to be progressive and so forth, and we're supposed to be a blue democratic city and everything, but, you know, here we are with this exploding homelessness issue. They're trying to privatize NYCHA, claiming they don't have the money to fix NYCHA, so they want to put a third of NYCHA underneath RAD, you know, in Section 8, making it easier for people to get evicted. But then you have $11 billion for these new jails. Where are our priorities at?
Well,
exactly.
we've been talking about priorities for a long time.
Oh, yes, we have.
People priorities are always screw up, but I understand what you're saying, but that's part of gentrification, correct? How people only care about building new homes. No matter where you go in New York City now, there's condos everywhere. All these condos building up, where are they going to get the people from? It seems like homelessness is on the rise. Prison is on the rise.
Yes, it is.
Condos is on the rise. Cost of living is on the rise. Isn't it all about greed right now? So the problem with prison is not really a problem at all, right? They still have a place to put people in.
Well, you also have to remember, part of the reason why there's so much homelessness is because if you interview the average homeless person, they feel safer on the streets and in the train stations than they do in a shelter. So they take what they own, they take what they have, and then they take their chances being in the street. And that in and of itself should be one of the first things that the administration should look at as far as trying to get this homeless problem under wraps. Prisons don't seem to work, obviously, because we know that very, very few people get rehabilitated going in and then come out. We've talked about on this show ad nauseum over the 4.5 years we've done this show, how many times we've seen these revolving door prisoners come in and out. This person did something brief, went in jail for 3 years, came back out, did a minor offense, went right back into jail. And instead of rehabbing that person, giving him or her skills to be able to stay out of jail, it's making the jails much more money to bring these prisoners in and keeping them in. And that's part of the problem.
But
Sean,
you know
so
what
about
else,
that
too?
Cop? Hold on 1 second, Kato. I'll get to you in a minute. What about that cop? Should he go to jail? Should he go to prison for killing that woman? Or should he get rehab? Should he get help?
We're not talking about the holding centers of Rikers Island. The Rikers Island is really technically a holding center. They haven't been convicted
yet.
It doesn't
matter. A jail is a jail.
Is it really? And that's what they're talking about here when they're trying to explain that.
Well, you're saying,
What about
the killers, the murderers?
I think we should really talk about what's the more chronic issue. I don't think that's really a good example of the cop. I think it is when you look at the number of people who are on Rikers Island, for instance, it's actually committed violence, it's actually a harm to their communities. It's a very small percentage. It's less than maybe 20% or 15% of the people on Rikers Island. That number is so small that it doesn't justify new jail construction by the billions. If we're able to just focus on the small number of people who commit violent acts and are harmed to their community, we could then start to focus on breaking the cycles of violence a lot easier than orienting ourselves as a society around a prison structure that is made for mass incarceration, mass enslavement of people, and continuing and perpetuating the permanent underclass filled with black and brown people.
Okay. Kato?
You know, like I said before, especially when it comes to the homeless issue and also with the jail system, you know what they do whenever you're in the courts? Sometimes they'll even say, oh, well, you know what? Yeah, that person's going to be right back in jail. They're going to, you know, they're going to end up doing something crazy and then have to go back to jail. That's what they do. That's basically what they do. That's what I wanted to say because that's how the system runs.
They're more likely to reoffend because there aren't a lot of services that would cater to those individuals' needs when they are released.
Exactly.
And prisons are, we're talking about Rikers Island as well as being a holding place, but when they are sentenced, we have prisons that are overcrowded and they're not even letting people who have long sentencing go home or be released at a decent time when they're supposed to be. So there's a cycle of overcrowded prisons, overcrowded homelessness. It's just a continuous cycle.
Okay.
But correct me if I'm wrong. What the majority of people that's in prison or like in Rikers right now? Black, Spanish, minority, or mostly white? Anyone can answer that for me. So is this just a way to...
Are you talking about male or female? Or are you talking about prison?
You know what?
Or are you talking
about
male?
Both. You know what? I'd like to have an answer for both, male and female.
Well, I've worked in several female prisons and also male prisons. And, of course, there's a very high number of African Americans in female and male prisons. That's, of course, inevitable that you see across the board.
True. So, based on what I'm trying to aim at, do you think there's a dramatic plan of mass incarceration to keep the minority in prison, to keep black people, Spanish people locked down as usual in the crazy society today? Sean.
Based on what you're saying as far as your last question, obviously there are going to be more whites in jail than blacks because the population of whites has been, you know, commensurately higher than males. The problem is that the concentration of males that are in there is very, very high as far as blacks go. And that's one of the things that you have to look at. We're talking since 2015, 30% of the total male population, 32% of that is white. Hispanic is 22%. So it's not just in that sense that we're looking at just a percentage of who's in jail more than. The problem is trying to make sure that you decrease the prison population, and a lot of the people that are in jail, a lot of them are first-time offenders. Remember, we had Rockefeller laws in the New York area for a very long time, very draconian, first-time offense on any drug
And they're coming from poor communities. So you have poor communities who are in those poor communities. Usually those are the minority group of people. The African-American, Hispanics are the people that make up the poor communities in these areas that are offending and going to jails and ultimately prison. So, of course, they're going to make up a larger number for men and women.
Exactly. And then if you don't have the opportunity to break that cycle, then if somebody has gone into jail and has left, there's a higher probability that they're going to reoffend because there hasn't been the barrier to make sure that that doesn't happen, to give that person options, to give that person counseling, to give that person job opportunities, and make sure that there's an incentive to keep that person from reoffending, and that's what's the problem.
Okay. 5558. You're on the air, 5558. You have something would you like to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
5558 is right here. 5558 is right here.
Okay.
So as we are here, black and brown people on the line, I need us to pay attention. The 13th documentary, right? Pay attention to that documentary if you ever get a chance to watch it. But cut and dry, that the prison and jail system is a continuation of slavery written into the 13th Amendment. It's in the Constitution. That's the only place that slavery has not been abolished as punishment for a crime. When you're making 10 and 15 cents like I was for 11 years an hour, you know that slavery is very much alive. So if we start there, we have the conversations about no new jails. Right now we're not talking about no jails. We're talking about no new jails in New York City. We're talking about an $11 billion budget out of the taxpayers' pockets. Everybody on this conversation, out of our pockets, when our check comes and the whole thing don't go to us, this is where that money is going. It's going into jail. There are people that look like us. The population, 88% across the United States, on average, 88% black. Inside of communities like St. Louis, where the population is 80% black, or 15% black, the jail and prison population is 88% black. This is data across the United States.
Okay.
We need to pay attention to the $11 billion plan. We'll be talking about other crimes. One more point and data clear to people when they're thinking about those violent crimes. The data shows across the United States and in New York City that when people are home fighting their case and are not trapped inside of a cage because they cannot afford to get out.
What happened?
There's two cases, one for the rich, one for the poor. The someone who is accused of committing murder, $100,000 bill, they can get out. If you cannot afford that, they stay in, and they're likely to get more convicted than the other person.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know that money talk. We all know that money talk and BS walk. That's a given. OJ is a perfect case of that one. He got away with it many years ago. But
the other thing is that we as Americans, we're the only country that the prison system is going up. You know, where other places they're closing their prisons, we're opening up. We wanting to open up more and build more, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. But doesn't building prison is just like war? America's making money from it, and that's why they keep doing it? It's all
that's
about
the reason
money,
why
right?
A lot of these prisons are open as long as they've been. We know that a lot of people get – it's almost like the lottery in that you have a lottery system so that people put money into it to try to win the lotto, but you're also – that state is getting a percentage off of the amount of money going in, and then that's going to get taxed. This is the same kind of thing that's happening with the jail system. And the reason why a lot of these jails stay open so long is because the more people that they incarcerate that stay in these buildings and stay in these prisons, the more money that goes into the state to help actually fund these prisons to keep them open long enough. And once you have the people that are actually in these prisons, there really is no incentive for anyone to actually try and treat any of the prisoners in the least bit humane way while they are there. There is no real incentive to try and make sure that you have rehabilitated anybody so that somebody comes out that they are less likely to offend. And this is that deadly cycle that we've been talking about where somebody gets arrested, usually in a lot of instances because of the neighborhood that they're in, maybe a police officer that has a slant in a certain way towards a particular neighborhood or area. Something snide happens, that person gets arrested, they go to jail, they can't afford legal representation and end up in jail over something that they shouldn't have. They stay in jail, they get out, they reoffend, they go back in. Same cycle continues to happen while the money is still getting taken off the top from people going back in. And as you said, $11 billion to disperse, and that can be brought back into the city a lot more thought than what
we're doing.
And that's
what they're protesting
now about
as far as with no new jails. And
exactly.
That's a whole new point,
exactly.
That if you build them up as tall as the towers are, that you're going to need to fill that. Let's say maybe a fourth of it may get filled if you put in it in every single borough like they want to do. Only
exactly.
But so much of it is going to get filled up with those people that are on the island. So it's like more people are going to be incarcerated. That's what they're fearful of. Am I correct? I don't know. The panel could explain it a little better.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Sean,
if,
Sean
if
Al?
That's
yeah.
What the fight is. Yes, Sean or
yeah.
Al.
It's Sean. The one thing I just want to say is this, is, you know, the fact that we even got to have a discussion about whether it shouldn't even be a debate about whether or not to spend $11 billion on anything other than the communities. Like, it's just like, what message are we really sending to our youth? Like, are we telling them that we're willing to invest in their demise, but we're not willing to invest in their future? Like, we're not willing to invest in schools for them. We're not willing to invest in parks, jobs, or rec centers. Like, I hear everybody always say, what about the rapists? What about the murderers? Well, guess what? You got a rapist for a president, you got murderers as police officers, and you got rapists as police officers, too. And they ain't going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting reprimanded. It took 5 years for every gun as murderer to get fired. So I'm tired of hearing people use that and always bringing that up when abolitionists bring up abolition. It's a bullshit point.
So, Sean,
I wanted to ask a question.
Sean,
oh, sorry.
I just wanted to
ask
say
a question to you, okay, dog.
Okay,
Sean, do you have congressmen, do you have other participants involved in your program to help you with this program?
I mean, okay, you know what the problem is with a lot of these politicians and these our council members, our so-called elected officials, are the ones pushing this jail plan and haven't even spoken with the community about it.
Thank you.
A lot of them, let me just say this. You got Diana Ayala. You got Stephen Levin. You got Corey Johnson. You got all these people sitting there that ain't never had that haven't spent a day in our shoes, that couldn't last in our shoes, and they want to go ahead and talk about, well, this is to keep the community safe. How are you keeping the community safe? You want to say you talking about issues, for example, with the MTA. Cops can't fix the tracks. You shooting, what they gonna do? Shoot at the traffic signal to make the trains come faster? Like, come on, well, this is an oxymoron. Like, it doesn't. We don't even need to bring up the numbers and the math and everything. It's like common sense. Like, we're willing to spend, you know, like
it's all about
nothing,
the money.
Jails
that's,
or nothing. Yeah, it's that's what
now,
it is.
It's all about
America
the money in their pockets. The money
I'm basically
pocket,
like giving yourself a headache
to.
As an excuse to take the aspirin. I think that's the best
yes.
way to describe it. We know what the
yes, because come on, think about it. The only reason they want to close Rikers Island is because it's a money drain, not because it's the moral thing. America never does anything because it's the moral thing to do. It always does everything that's profitable. That's
well,
all it does.
Yeah,
they want to save money.
This country is based on corruption and money. Let's admit to that. And I think that's what I'm aiming at. I'm like, I believe in y'all got a system, but I don't see it happening really because this country, this place is based on greed, you know.
Well, I mean, people.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead,
no,
man.
I was going to say, I feel what you're saying, that it seems like a long stretch to close Rikers and to close a lot of jails, but people probably said the same thing with slavery. People probably said the same thing about closing plantations down. And, you know, I don't know about anybody else in here but my brother Al, but I know my ancestors didn't fight to go reform and have humane plantations. There's no such thing as, you ever heard of a humane plantation or a therapeutic plantation? Because that's what we keep hearing reformists talk about. Because that's all a jail or a cage is a plantation. There's nothing humane about it. I've had friends and family that have been to jail.
Sean, what's the definition? Sean, what's the definition of insanity?
Oh, it's when you do the same shit over and over and expect a different result.
Well,
that's exactly what it is. That's what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Insanity. You know, you got the mayor, he getting a bunch of feds pretending to be reformists, saying, you know, hey, have you ever did a bid? You can't. Oh, you didn't. You can't speak on the plan. Like, come on. Like, what is this? Like,
but
you
it
can't
is also
this
hard
up.
For a mayor to concoct some sort of plan for a city when he spent a good chunk of this year campaigning for president, where he wasn't here doing his job. He was out campaigning and smozzing it out in Iowa and trying to get constituents to build up for him. And now that he knows he has no chance of winning that presidency, he's coming back for his last, 2 years in office to finish up the job
he
was supposed to be doing.
Millions. He wasted millions doing that, all that campaign.
Exactly.
Of course.
Wasted millions of hours.
Of course. Yep. You know,
that
wasn't
a serious run, though.
No, it wasn't. It was a smokescreen.
Smoke screen for what? Go ahead.
So, yeah, I wanted to ask the No New Jails member, what is it that everyone on this phone call could do who, after hearing all that they heard today or all that they have already known, what is it that they could do on October 17th to make their voice heard so that, you know, community input can be heard in an individual way and collectively?
I would say come out to City Hall on October 17th. Come join us. We're going to have, you know, political education. We're going to be there marching, protesting, chanting. Also, if you can't make it, you could also call your local council members, you know, tell them how you feel. And remember, take note of everybody who votes yes on this jail plan. If they vote yes on this jail plan, you need to make it your job. You need to take it personal. This ain't business. This is personal.
That's right.
And that's the thing. We need to make this shit personal, because you know why our community is getting neglected too? It's because we let people who sometimes look like us or identify with us, we let them slide. We need to start holding them to fire and telling them, you know what, if you ain't giving us what we want, your ass is not getting reelected. That's what we need to tell everybody.
Yes.
We need to tell them you're not going to be mayor.
I agree with that part 100%. I agree with that
100%.
And I would
need to. And I,
go ahead.
I'm so sorry, y'all. And I would say, on to piggyback off of what Sean said, if you can't do any of those, if you don't have time to call them, if you can't show up, tweet at your local council person. Tweet at them and let them know that that the community wants this to be a no vote. And also, and like Sean said, if they vote yes, we got to expose them going in the future. We got to expose who's funding them. They got exposed their votes in the past, because a lot of them were the same people that voted for the police expansion in New York City a year after Eric Garner got murdered. So we got to remember that and hold their feet to the fire. We let them slide once. Don't let them slide a second or a third time. And remember remember how they voted, because we can talk all we want about Trump. The truth is that we can only protect ourselves as a community against policies like Trump's policies if we are strong locally. If we're not strong locally, if we just wait for the platitudes for people in blue to tell us, hey, look, we're on your side when they're really not, that's our own fault. We got to hold them accountable.
I agree, and I also feel like that there needs to be more conversations like this that are happening, because, to be honest, a lot of the times, people do not know what building new prisons or jails really mean, and they think that they're reviving a community that's not making money, or they're bringing jobs to a community that's not making money. So conversations that have substance, or people that have been in prison or know the stats, need to happen so that it can be real for those that do not know about it, and not just something on the TV screen that people are rallying or fighting for.
Yep.
Lady T, something you'd like to add?
Nope, everybody summed it up. Just go out and do what you need to do on October 17th for this new jail process.
And before I forget, Sean, Al, Rima, everybody else, thank you so much for this topic. I want to give a shout-out to Lady T, who brought this topic to me and made this topic happen. You know, I give you all the credit for the world.
I'd like to thank Al, Sean, and Puzzle. I'm not sure who the other lady was. Can you say your name again?
Sepia.
Huh? Tassia. Thank you. Thank you all for also being on here to, you know, bring awareness to this.
Thank you.
And bring awareness to what we need to do to build our communities. We talk about this all the time.
Yeah, because we always talk about trying to make everybody aware about certain things, and this is definitely one of the things. We always talk about Flint, Michigan not having any drinking water, and the things that really affect people on a ground level, this is one of them. So thank you for your input and everything you've done so far today.
And for everybody out there, don't forget October 17th, let your voices be heard.
Okay, on that note, guys, I have a feeling we might do this topic again sooner or later. And thanks so much from the bottom of my heart. Oh, I have one more caller. I don't know what to say anymore about it. This is just amazing. I learned a lot about this prison system. And another thing I know, that Sean Black better not drop the soap when he go back to prison. You know, but other than that,
come on, man.
Come on. You know, at the end
you got to end it on the wrong note.
Of course. Yes. Other than that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all once again. Tune in next week for another Absolute Truth with Sean Black, Lady T, K-Dog, and everybody else. On that note, God bless.
Thank
call
you,
all your politicians. Be involved. And good luck. And
make
as always, the pleasure was all mine.
That's right.
Amen.
All yours.
Good night.
Good night, young man.
Peace.
Peace out.